Hello, everyone. It is me, the return of Spoiler Gosa. It's been a nice year or so. Anyways, this episode features very light spoilers for The War Within, so I'm going to pass it off to my nephew, Spoiler Gosa Light.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Spoiler Gosa Light. You heard what my uncle, Spoiler Gosa, said. Just keep that in mind. Don't say we didn't warn you. Bye.
Archers, attack! Keep firing! Let none escape! Another down! Do not relent!
Das guten Tein, Plunderkein, Slide Whistle here!
Well, hello, Plunderkein, Slide Whistle. Tis I, Immunization, the not Plunderkein.
And it's me, Aaron, Fire Mage Extraordinaire and Horrid Punching Bag. And I want you all to know that I'm getting amped, but I'm getting ready, which is why I've spiked my drink. I've picked up Dunkin' Spiked Original Iced Coffee with a twist.
What's the twist?
It has alcohol in it.
Yeah. I mean, so as a big Dunkin' head and Dunkin' aficionado, I've been curious, but honestly scared of them, and I have never tried them. So I would like your review later as this podcast goes on.
Well, I've yet to actually take a sip. I just cracked open a big boy, but you know what?
It's your gulp.
As brand ambassador and big booty owner Ice Spice once said, let's go, Munchkins.
And Munchkins, we shall go, because I'm sure you've heard the news.
It just tastes like a nice coffee, but also it's just like, bam, that's not supposed to be there. It's like,
well, I'm sure you've heard the news. I got a million plunder, baby. Also, there's more with the news, obviously.
Yeah. So a lot of news. We are just like smacked across the face with a toxic smack roll of War Within Alpha news because the Alpha's out. There's also been the media tour that they normally do with a bunch of interviews. I have yet to see any of the Korean interviews because that's where the real tea is, but I'm sure those will come out for next week. But I feel like there are a few notable ones we can talk about. Do you guys want to start with which one's more interesting to you? Mr. GM and Holly Longdale one we can start with, I guess?
Yeah, that one's quicker, I feel like, so we can get through that one a little faster. I just want to say, I really like Holly Longdale. She's the vice president, I think she said, right?
Yeah, so I believe when we first were introduced to her, I think she was just specifically on the Classic team.
Yeah, she was the head of Classic development during the BlizzCon 2020.
So she's obviously moved up, but like I agree with Slide. Like everything I've seen from her lately, I've just been like really vibing with her. So I'm really excited that this interview existed. And was it just me or did she feel kind of like sassy with it?
She did. She felt like she was just having a great time. It was also weird.
She was probably sassy because from what I've seen on the twitters.com. Mr. Good Morning did not get alpha access, so she's probably like, oh, I'm doing charity talking to this guy.
Ooh, what's it?
came in 32nd at the tournament, and he doesn't even have alpha.
It was weird seeing Mr. GM in the flesh moving around and talking. I'm used to just seeing his like little face on his tweets.
Yeah, but I guess since we basically already talked about Plunderstorm a bit, I think one of the first things that they mentioned in this interview is that by their metrics, Plunderstorm was successful. She also kind of implied that their expectations were low because it was just a fun surprise project. But I'm glad that they've gotten enough feedback and whatever data they have to know that we've enjoyed it, you know?
I think when Brad subscribed just to play Plunderstorm, they were like, oh my god, we did it, guys. Holy shit.
We're getting them back.
So that was great. And then they also said that they're working on more stuff coming, right? Like she said even more that they got more stuff in the pipeline if they need to pull it out when it's time. And they even said like they knew Plunderstorm wasn't going to have like longevity because like people are going to stop playing it eventually. It's great that they are like recognizing that like, you know, something, it does have an end point to be brought back at some point.
Yeah, and the, I guess like the only negative thing, like basically Holly said that everything that they've been doing, they are taking notes, getting feedback, and they will improve on it going forward. So they basically realize like the way that they teased the surprise was not beneficial to them. They would either just do a full surprise or be more transparent going forward. And then they she basically just doubled down saying that they like this 8-week patch cycle that we've experienced through Dragonflight, and they want to improve upon that and keep that going forward as well.
Oh God, our goof budget is running dry. This 8-week segment is a gift and a curse because it's great as a player, but darn, do I yearn for the halcyon days of eyeball time.
Holly Longdale basically said, time. "Fuck the top of us."
She said, "I've heard Aaron. Okay, maybe." Maybe my mute finger wasn't fast enough back then. I was working on a new laptop, but it's not funny to bring it up again. And then Mr. Googly Moogly's like, "Yeah, he's always making fun of me too. We should get this guy."
Can't believe Holly canceled the top of us.
She personally sealed Gary in his pit forevermore. He can't return to ring the bell for the Threefobus.
Oh no, your father.
Bear, let me out. Some lady in a leather jacket's been keeping me down here.
They talked about the EU and a crossover, and she basically was like...
Of course they talk about the EU with Mr. Googly Moogly.
He basically derailed his own interview to ask about it, it felt like. And she basically was like, no.
How come we don't get nothing never? And it's like, I think you know why you don't get nothing never.
Oh, basically, he asked basically because like they joked around about playing with each other. Because they are both casual WoW players. So they would be like, oh yeah, we could quest together or something. Except he's like, but then he's like, except we can't. Because I'm on an EU server and you're on a US server. And then she basically is like, you know, there's too much, like, she went into a little bit of detail, which is something I never thought about, like, about how there's, like, actual legal, like, predicaments that block them from actually being able to combine the servers.
Yeah, because I think the internet, like, connectivity and, like, exchange of data is different between countries. So, yeah, it probably is, like, you're jumping through different hurdles to go over there in the EU.
I really liked how she... talked about mid-core players, and I'm like, is that us? Are we mid-core players?
I would say so. I also feel like mid-core is probably like high, like quite a range, but like, because like we definitely aren't the high-end people. She basically said that for too long, WoW has catered to the high-end people, so like the Mythic Plus raiders, and have let like casual, and then what they internally are even referring to as mid-core people. Like she felt like that the game wasn't catered towards them, and they are the actual majority of the game.
So for mid-core, she was like, they're players who think they're casual, but they're playing every day, or they're like doing stuff that like casual players aren't doing. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that is us.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have AOTC, right? So like, that's more than casual, I would say.
Yeah, or like, oh, we have all of these mounts or all of these achievements or all of these reps grinded out. It's like, you know what? That is fair. There are certainly people who just are like, I'm just coming in to talk to my friend Steve in Stormwind Harbor.
Yeah, or people who just come and play the story of the patch and then like dip or like let their... they like do all the story content and be like, yep, that's my 1 month sub. I'll be back in like 8 months to have the rest of the story. So it's like... yeah, I guess we are mid-core then. So that's nice that we have a label now, I guess.
You know what people, they said, these boys of DNR, they've been mid. And I thought they were making fun of us, but they were just predicting the future. They were telling us the truth. We're comfortably mid.
I mean, yeah, we're mid-core WoW gamers, and we are also mid-core WoW podcasters.
That's us, baby!
Oh, but then at the very end of this interview, she basically said that she really is excited for War Within. And in particular, she said, because of the high-stakes storylines that are going to be happening. I'm like, that's very cryptic. What could this possibly mean? I mean, like, she said it in, like, a way that was ominous.
Yeah, I guess because it's, like, a big story in the World Soul. But I don't know. You know what I really don't know? because everything before had been escalating threats, worse and worse and worse, and then people got tired of that. But then Dragonflight, when they came out and they were like, if we ignore this one, it won't be a biggie. I guess I didn't know how I'd feel about that one either. So in a different interview that we'll talk about later with my man Ian Hazuko, he too is like, we'll be facing threats where if we don't deal with them, nothing else we've done matters. And it's like, aw, we're back on like the escalating scale again.
Eels.
Well, I guess it can be later. We can talk about the Mr. Hazuko interview. Tina Wang was also there. She's the associate art director. Yes. There were a few things that were interesting here, but I feel like overall this one was more so, it felt like it was almost like a recap of what was presented at BlizzCon. So they went through like the zones of War Within and some of the systems, but there was a few additional tidbits that we weren't presented with before. I feel like in particular, some of the art models of the in-game characters that were particularly mind-blowing, because this is 100% them listening to us. Like, I guess he must have heard something when he was up in the rafters, Mr. Hazuko, because he is giving our boy Dagrin an updated model here.
Dagrin Therusian the second, son of Dagrin Therusian the first, Moira's boy. He looks like a big nerd, and I love it.
Yes, it is the first time in this game we are getting like a dwarf young man model. He also, point of contention, he is gray. I didn't want to tip my hat here. When he was a little baby, wasn't this boy white? Wasn't he like Caucasian?
Well, I mean, I feel like also they just had, back in the day, this is how long it's been since they have updated his model. That little baby in a cradle was back when I think they had literally one option for baby in cradle. So they just copy and pasted that.
I mean, it could have even been they had one option for dwarf period. Like playable dwarf. I don't remember when darker skin tones came in, if they were there at the beginning, but yeah.
Imagine baby and Kratos as Pokemon eggs. Everyone has the same egg, no matter what race you are.
No matter what. Mother, I just had my troll baby. Ooh, let me see it, Gerzai. White child. Oh, he's beautiful. It'll be a strong blue troll warrior.
Or it's like how the Digimon trees like all trace back to like a set like or whatever baby Digimon.
Yeah, everyone is like the animated pile of poop or like the little pig guy. It's like, but yeah, he's here. He's, and get used to it. He is going to be exploring the islands with us in a big nerdy way.
Yeah, he has like bags full of scrolls. Some of them are on fire. And he has his glasses on. He looks like he's just here ready to take notes about his culture. Because they had basically said that they're like, okay, who needs to be involved in this expansion? Obviously, all notable dwarfs, because we are effectively going to, like, the origins of dwarfs on Azeroth, so.
So, something that my good friend Ian Hazakostas said was he said specifically Moira is getting a glow up because she is the heir to the throne of Ironforge. Are the other two families just kind of chop liver?
That's a good question, actually. I mean, is it just because... Huh. Because it's a council.
Because Bran... Well, aren't they all siblings? They're all Magni's children?
Yeah, they're all Magni's children, so...
Wait, except for Curdren. Curdren's not, but Moradin and her... Faustad? They're like blood... Or Faustad, I'm sorry. They're blood related, so Muradin has just as much, he's just as much the heir, unless, you know what, I hate to say I don't pay attention to dwarf politics, he very easily in like 2018 could have been like, I don't care anymore, and like, no one would have clocked it.
I don't think he did though. I think the last time we saw them was when they were all riding in on the event. What was that event, they were all attacking stuff, was that Legion? Or who, Shadowlands pre-event?
It was Shadowlands. She showed up, but no Moradin. I don't think so. She is definitely, as she should, because she's a boss-ass bitch, she's definitely taken the lead. Like, the Council of Three Hammers, I feel like, is going to fold soon.
Well, I mean, like you said it yourself, we don't really pay attention to dwarven politics. Personally, I don't visit Ironforge proper very often. A lot of the times I'm only on the outskirts for Brewfest. So for all we know, over the last 8 years, really, there could have been an election.
Yeah, I'm on the Wikipedia for him and just reading about what he did last. And it seems that the last thing we saw him was BFA, where he was uneasy about the alliance with the Horde. And he was just like, can we trust him? And then he said, he vowed the Bronzebeard clan shall put them in their place if they step out of line.
Ooh, maybe they shelved him for being racist. It's like your uncle you don't invite to Thanksgiving anymore. Moradin's like, I'm proud. I'll never trust those green skins. And then Ian's like, time to put you in the timeout box.
Do you think he slipped up there? Or do you think he was giving us a little nugget to chew on with the Moira revelation?
I really don't know, because there will be family politics because, what's his face? Bran. He plays a big role in the Delve system. So she will, assumedly, her and Dagrin being around, she will talk to her brother a lot more. Maybe he's like, oh, you know what? Our heart was never in it. Moira, you're the real one with your new glow up, your orange armor.
You know, they did hint at the fact that, like, there are things that even the people who are playing the alpha don't know that will happen in game before they arrive at where the alpha starts, if that makes sense, because the alpha kind of starts. Okay, well, obviously spoilers here. I mean, y'all know us at this point, but, like, I guess the alpha starts, like, in a Dalaran crater, but, like, not the Dalaran crater.
Yeah, so that was a thing. I have not seen any solid proof of what's happening, but people keep posting, like, this doesn't look good, and it's models of, like, the Ronin statue exploding, or, like, the Purple Palace sticking out of the ground. So I was like, did they sink this thing?
So basically, people who have been playing the alpha say that, like, there's no cinematics, but they give you, like, a brief, like, summary of, like, what the cinematic would have been. So let me just, like, read, like, part of this Dalaran one. Because, like, it's not good for basically us here. So it starts, like, in the crater, and in like a wreckage of, like, where Dalaran has plummeted back down to Azeroth and crashed.
Which, that would be what, like, over Suramar, like slightly south of Suramar in the ocean.
Do you think we
move it just for it to get beefed?
So I can't really tell from this picture. Let me send this in host chat and maybe you guys can identify it.
Pride returns. Congratulations, Lifeweaver.
Well, where the fuck is this at? Okay, we're looking at, like, a peninsula, like a you put Florida and you flipped it around upside down.
So also, I'd like to say this area does feature a quest, a dungeon, and a trader's post. So wherever this is, the trader's contingency makes their way to it.
This might be a whole new zone for the alpha, actually.
You know what? I hate to say. It's what it probably is we decide to move it again to investigate Khazal Gar, and something blasts the fuck out of it. That's probably the introduction to this zone is like, oh no, we crashed in it.
Yeah, so I guess what happens here is that, like, it's crashed, and then you fight off Nerubians that it is implied that they were involved somehow in the crash of Dalaran.
I know we already said spoilers, but I feel like Spoiler Gosa, this is really Spoiler Gosa's warning. If you don't want to know anything about what's happening in this, you might want to just, like, walk away for, like, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Don't worry. Now invoking their name, I have already, Spoiler Gosa has already spoken at the beginning of the episode. So people know what they're getting into.
So this says that we aid several familiar faces. We aid Ritson Flamescowl, who... Aethys Sunreaper, Meryl Fellstorm, Miss Meryl's coming back, little sick girl.
Mister.
Hey, you don't know. Marin Nautifogger.
You know what? That's very... I was about to be like, no, I met the man, but that was back in Legion. Who knows? People could have found themselves. It's 2024.
Moira and Dagrin and Bran. But then it says, like, once we find most of the survivors. Survivors? So who the fuck... Who's dead? What's dead?
Yeah, so it says, Thrall, Jaina, Illyria, and Anduin gather in Dornagal to discuss the loss of their joint strike force. They take a moment for Khadgar.
So maybe he's just kidnapped by Scrabs. And it's like, we hope to get our dear friend back. Or it's like, dude, he got totally torn in half by two Nerubians.
I feel like it couldn't be he got torn in half. My guess is going to be, because, you know, they like to do magic sillies with him, is going to be like, he's going to have a Ronin-esque role where it's like, if I absorb the majority of the impact with my magic, then we'll be able to survive. And then he'll do that, but like be gone. So they're like, oh, he must have got turned into dust and died. And then he's going to explode out of a portal in like a year and a half. That's I'm minting it. Because I feel like, I mean, Khadgar was just brought back. And I don't think anyone's like tired of him. He hasn't done anything problematic. So I feel like getting rid of him would make me sad.
I don't know. I mean, Varian was kind of not doing much of anything either, right? Up until, like, after Mop.
Hey. He was featured in the famous WOD, you built your base to level 3, here's a turnaround cinematic.
Champion, good job building the trading post. Whoa.
You did it. Your city's as big as it's gonna get. Anyway, see you back in town. Bye.
The real tea is that, like, they are just mourning the loss of him and their strike force because he has hung up his staff and he is opening a trading post on this island of Dornagal, so he will no longer be fighting alongside them.
Do you see the cute fall fashions they have at the trading post, champion? It is my eternal duty. I must be the guardian of all of the cute fashion and cool mounts.
They're like, champions, we must take a moment to peruse Khadgar's goods.
to peruse the fall lineup. Do you think you're going to get the pet? Who, I have so few points.
Also, that reminds me, the two alpha servers for War Within are Khadgar and Illyria, named after our beautiful cats.
Also, it'll be really fucked up if they kill off Khadgar in this game. Blizzard, don't fucking do that. Like, he's one of your biggest stars, and we pop every time we see him, which isn't very often. Can't just bring him back and kill him off like this. Don't do that.
Yeah, Ian, if you're crawling around the crawl space again, knock it off.
Oh, he is confirmed to be back. I'm glad. It was sad that he was gone for a week, but I'm glad he's come back. He must own property over there.
Yeah, he's fucking hanging out with Marco next door. Wait, we kind of crawled a little bit away from the WoWcast interview. Do we want to go back or do we want to keep talking about, is there any more about Dalaran thingy?
Yeah, no, I can bring it back because something that they said in this interview is that, like, it start, like, this alpha starting basically at the ruins of Dalaran, right? And he said that there is a narrative launch that is not being tested. Maybe it won't be tested. The way he said it kind of made me feel like it was going to be some kind of event or something during the pre-patch, perhaps, where maybe it'll be just be something that'll, like, set the table for, like, why we're all on Dalaran. So something along the lines of what Aaron said, like, yeah, let's go try to find the dwarf area. Let's move Dalaran because, like, it's basically a flying ship, right?
Flying investigative landmass.
Imagine being just like a business owner in Dalaran, like the guy who owns the pet shop. And it's like, we're going to use our mages to move it to the new dangerous location. And it's like, can you not? I wasn't super about you guys putting it up in the air in the first place. Like, I can't visit my mom anymore. I have to talk to the cool, sexiest NPC of the week guy to go there. And now we're going to put it over an island we didn't even know existed.
Can we land? I'm getting airsick.
You know what? After 8 years, I'm getting a little queasy.
It'd be even worse to be like a customer who's like going on the daily and then, like, you know, you skip a week and then all of a sudden it's fucking gone.
Or like a rant, yeah.
You're up there in Northern Eastern Kingdoms and it's like, no one makes scones like Bippy's Bakery in Dalaran. And then you come back and there's just an empty hole. It's like, huh?
Or you're just like a random player that's like, oh, yes, I hear that the, what was the one toy that's there, like, not very often? The Rainbow Prism or whatever?
Yeah, the Rainbow Prism and the spider from Mr. Wiz... something? Is it Wiz? No, Wiz Man. The Wizard.
I like to visit Mr. Wizman to buy his toys. We are clearly visiting different wizards.
Oh, what if you're a customer and you're on Dalaran when it starts to move and they basically kidnap you and take you away and then it
Martha,
crashes?
Are you coming home for dinner, Benjamin? No, Martha, I'm sorry. I guess I live here now.
I guess the Curantor has decided I'm part of their elite strike force.
I had no intention of fighting the Legion today, but apparently I'm part of the secret group that's going to attack them on the Broken Shore. Please tend to the children.
Hey, for all you
crabs.
Scare people.
Crabs.
Crabs
wait,
now.
Wait. Yes, but also I just wanted to say one thing about the Ian interview that made me haha funny tickle. Is they asked Ian, what's your favorite dungeon? And then he said, and then they looked at Tina. What's her name?
Yeah, Tina.
They looked at Tina, and I know she meant to say, the interviewer meant to phrase it as, are you excited for anything? Like, or anything interesting to you? But she said it in a way that was like, are you excited for anything?
Is that how it was worded?
You fucking tourist, Tina. I know you make the game, but did you even fucking play this thing?
Oh, poor little Tina doing her little artwork. She's like, oh, I care.
And Tina was excited, but I saw that and I was like, oh, don't talk to Tina like that.
It was kind of funny, though, because like then Tina was like, you know, I am really excited about this one really badass window that I designed. I'm like, you know what, Tina? You're right. That window does look very cool.
I mean, if people remember when I spoke to Peter, he's still an environmental artist, he's a prop artist in WoW. Yeah, I asked him the same thing. I was like, what are you excited for in Shadowlands at that time? And he was like, I made a really cool book.
You know, it's sometimes you gotta go with what you love. Did we ever find that book? We should start promoting that book.
I need to talk to him again and be like, when we talked, it was Shadowlands. Can you now give me a rundown of everything you did? Because like, I want to be like, look at this book. With my luck, it would be like something I have as an offhand. Then I'm like, I hate this thing. It's not balanced correctly. And he's like, I put 6 months into that.
Like, you shit-talk my book on episode, like, 274, by the way.
I've been listening religiously. I used to love you, used to be a fan. Now I'm going to send
crabs
at you. And I said, ha, 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 good thing I'm at the beach, because those crabs are now crabs.
Yeah, so in this interview as well, Ian mentioned that, so I guess this became a talking point among their team as well, because, you know, we're going to be facing Nerubians and down in the like fourth sublevel of Azeroth, there's a lot of
crabs
and things along with the Nerubians. And I guess people on their team were like, had arachnophobia. So they're like, maybe it's time for us to implement an arachnophobia filter in the game that I guess will just be an option that you can toggle on and off in options somewhere.
Yeah, probably an accessibility if that's where that kind of setting would go. It turns some
crabs.
They have different varieties of crabs. Some
crabs
are just like little basic like land crabs, and some of them are like the big ugly like Najitar ones, which honestly might be a little scary.
Crabs
sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, like I get that some people are like incapacitated in fear with like
crabs,
but I'm like, part of me is like, I don't know, like the point of
crabs
is that they're supposed to be scary, right? Like in video games. I don't want to have like a bad take here, but like I don't know
if it's just the EBGBs, then yeah, it's like, well, they're supposed to be scary. If it is apparently debilitating, which maybe they are, then all for it. My only question is, what specific aspects trigger that? Like when you go to the new Nerubian area, is it going to be the Crab Empire? Because sure, Nerubians aren't
crabs,
but they are three-fourths of
crabs.
That's a very good question. Are they going to be crab Rubians instead? Because if you're changing the
crabs,
you're right. Like, what about the fucking Nerubians?
No, yeah, 100%. Like, I believe in the video when they turned on the filter, it, like, as Slide was saying, like, the small ones turned into, like, crab critters. But then, like, the bigger ones turned into, like, big, larger crabs, like maybe a 100-pet crab. But then I believe they showed a Nerubian. And that is what turned into the crab people from Najitar. So maybe they make like a whole new model for the end boss of this Nerubian raid as well, which is just a big crab.
Someone out there is going to be living such a different experience than you and I. And I honestly want to have them on. Like, Sandra Scared of Spiders, that's her legal last name. Like, I want to have her on and be like, what is my green? Does my green look like your green? Does my game look like your game?
You know, and this is funny because I distinctly remember, like, when we first joined Uno Mas back when it was Phoenix Fusion, we had, like, a particular raider who everyone always, like, kind of, like, half-jokingly, like, poked fun at her, like, whenever any
crabs
mentioned or there was a
crabs,
because she would have, like, a reaction of fear whenever, like, a
crab
would appear.
But then we would all pull out our
crabs
and go, look at this
crabs.
Look at this
crabs.
Like,
very, so very problematic of us. I was about to say, canceled. People have been looking for years and they're finally back. DNR is
crabs.
Mean. They're mean about them.
I'm pro crabs, honestly, so I'm pro arachnophobia, I guess.
No, I was going to say, are we arachnophobic phobic?
Yes, I'm arachnophobic phobic.
Crabs
are good. If they're in your house, don't kill them. So I did
crabs
yesterday, but it had baby eggs and I want babies in my house. So if you have babies, get the fuck out of here. Okay. War bands. So I don't remember what is your guys' conception of what a war band is?
Well, based on the information that they presented here, and then there was like another like alpha preview video that Blizzard released as well with additional information about war bands, it seems to me like your war band is basically just your World of Warcraft account, is what it seems like to me.
But only specific ones. It is limited to 5.
I believe that's just the ones that are, like, shown on your login screen, right? Or do you have to pick and choose which ones are, like, eligible to, like, be able to use your warband bank?
It sounds like you may have to pick and choose to use the bank, which, yes, is a new feature where you can put items in this nebulous space, and it's shared between all 4 or 5 of these people. So, like, oh, I picked up a cool spear. Well, this isn't good for Growlina, but maybe Booty ATW can use it. So you put it in that bank, and now she has access to it. But I think it's limited. I don't think I can put something in there, and, like, Old Fingerhead also has access to it.
So there are some items that are warband equipped, bind down warband equipped. But that's very specific. Like it'll have like a thing on it that'll tell you that. I thought that warbands were only like the 4 characters, the 5 characters that I'm choosing. Warband is all your characters. It's all of them. It's every single one of them you have. It's like they all are a warband. Warband is just like a name to signify that. You can drag and drop them freely into the screen to show the like which ones are on there. But it's literally like pretty much any alt. At least it's one like on a region. So like you can't do like, you know, EUNA.
So is the top 4 just cosmetic? Is it literally just a MySpace top 4?
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm like 99% sure it's just a MySpace top 4.
And speaking of dated interfaces, here it comes, everyone. Right, get out your phones and tweet about how I stink. The warband screen I thought was going to be a lot cooler. You just have 5 dipshits standing there looking into the middle distance. I swear, and I could be wrong, I swear we had a screenshot of, like, one cooking something at a fire, the other, like, working on a piece of armor, like, doing something kinetic? But no, it's, they're just standing there idling next to the fire.
I think I do remember them saying that this was just concept art when they did it, but, like, it is... It is quite a choice to show us concept art of them doing cool shit and then be like, here we are, just in the same pose you know us in.
And I know the warband system is not literally just looking at these guys around the fire, but I almost preferred that you zoomed, you do what we currently have. You zoomed in and showed me in detail, oh, look at your cool model and your cool background. As it is now, it's just 4 really zoomed out people just kind of picking their butt cracks and then be like, I guess I'll pick this one.
Well, I mean, like, picking their butt cracks would be more kinetic than this.
Exactly. They're just, who knows if they even sway? When Ian was talking about, like, we're really excited for this particular screen, it was a snooze fest.
I am so jazzed for the system, though. The screen, hopefully we get a little work on progress. That'd be great if they can, you know, spruce it up. But, like, this is, like, everything I fucking needed. Like, I have all so many characters that I bounce through. Any rep that you get will be shared through all your characters. We already know that. But now they're making it so you can... So say that you level a character. Leveling 1 to 80 means that now your next character gets a boost, or do you need two characters to get the boost? Basically, the more alts you level, the more experience your account gets when you're leveling them.
Yeah, so it's like 5% bonus when your first character dings 80, 5% to leveling of all your other characters, and then I think it increases every additional one that you get.
Yes, so Growlina will be going baseline experience, she'll be pounding rocks. Booty ATW will have it 5% easier. Wigglesine will have now 10% compared to Growlina. And the more you continue to the point that, like, when you get all the way down to Young Mouth Bottom or Pro Jared, it's going to be like you do like 6 quests and it's like done. 300%. Like, just get it over with.
Does it go that high? Because I only saw up to 5. I didn't see if it went past that.
Is it just 5? Well,
I'm not sure.
I mean, even if it's just 5, 25% additional experience at leveling is pretty nice. And I assume there probably be other things as well that could help boost that.
It's just so, it's such a good system. And then they kind of clarified, like, about reps. Like, so if you're renowned 5 for Valdrakken Accord on one character and round 10 on another, you're 10. You're not going to get cumulative, you're not getting 15, but everyone's sent across the board. So that's great.
Yeah, it's a great feature. And then, like, as we talked about earlier, there's going to be a warband bank, which sounds like it's similar to the guild bank where you have to buy additional tabs for storage. And, like, you could put just non-soulbound items in there so then your other characters can grab it. So they said that, like, you know, if you have one character that can mine and another character that's a blacksmith, then, like, it just makes that whole system easier, so you don't have to, like, send it to yourself in the mail.
Yeah, and, like, the tabs are, they get expensive, though. Like, the last tab, oh, it's 6 tabs, 7 tabs? I don't know how many there are, but the last one's, like, literally 2.5 million gold. Like, that's a fuck ton.
Yeah, the early on ones are cheap, though, so I am curious to see how fast this will feel like it fills up.
It kind of feels like this is maybe one of the positive things that Final Fantasy XIV, I know, has given us. Because when people play Final Fantasy XIV, they only need to have one character. I guess they don't make alts, which is bizarre, because they can switch their things whenever they want. So they're kind of like, all right, fine, people want to be able to play their alts more faster, so let's just do this shit. Which means they're also killing the human racial diplomacy, and they're going to replace it with something. What the fuck are they going to give them, do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense, though, because, like, if you think about it, then, like, you would have to... Everyone would basically just have a human that they would use to get any rep that they needed. And then that would just be copied over to all their other characters. So then I feel like everyone's main would just be a human.
My guess, longer jokes. Humans have had long jokes for years. We need new, longer ones. Lord of the Rings, that's old hat. Give me an entire, like, Game of Thrones joke that is 8 solid minutes to talk about the 8 beautiful seasons it had.
Honestly, that would be great. That'd be a great racial. I'd be okay with that. Or, like, maybe, like, if you do, like, slash silly, like, during a fight, like, you get, like, a DPS buff, like, 5% maybe, but everybody has to fucking hear it.
Because canonically, humans are so funny. They just put it in, like, all the dialogue. Like, Moira's like, God, it's so good for you to be here, because all you guys are so fucking funny.
Can't stop laughing.
Jaina, it's very nice to make your acquaintance again. You always keep me in stitches, as every single human does.
I haven't felt like laughing in a long time, which is crazy, because as a human, I'm so funny.
Did we know about this currency thing? The currency I'm reading it live at this blue post. We're able to send currency freely without having to mail it.
Yes, that was featured in the Ian Hazako video.
So, they basically said that, like, warbands is the first big step to their new philosophy of World of Warcraft being a more, like, account-wide game instead of just, like, individual characters. And that being one of the big things that, like, you know, with the bank and the currencies being able to be transferred between things, the account-wide rep, account-wide achievements for most things. So any like Mythic 20 portal you get will just be available to all of your characters, which is nice. Because like mine are like spread out amongst my characters. So it'll be nice that like anyone that I've ever gotten, or like in Slide Whistle's case, like maybe he has less because he has like Throne of the Tides like literally eight times on every different character.
Yeah, that's fucking annoying. I should get like more portals. I should be able to use it like more frequently if I have them all on my characters.
Oh, but something else that was interesting to me is they basically said that like all flight paths have become account wide. Anyone that you've unlocked will just become account wide, which then is sad because what does that mean for like those toys that we had that would just spam everyone with achievements?
That's probably why they did it. They're like, fuck you guys using these fucking toys. It's pissing me off.
And then the last thing that really stuck with me that Ian and Tina mentioned was that they want to keep the Dragonflight professions going forward, which makes sense because like they put a lot of work into it, and I like the system, so it's fine. But they specifically said that like NPC crafting orders will be available, like for any quests or anything you need to like get done, basically, which is nice because like sometimes like
people weren't offering things. It's like, I'm trying to make some money. Who's trying to get some boots?
Like, especially these last few weeks.
Yeah, because, like, I would, like, at first I was like, this is stupid. Like, this is so fucking dumb. But then I was like, oh, I guess I have had to literally, like, send myself crafting orders, and that's stupider than just doing an NPC crafting order.
Yeah, so that's a nice change.
I'm glad that they're bringing the professions forward. I know everybody's always like, they always make new systems and leave them behind. So now they're like, fine, dummies, we're bringing all this shit forward.
I'm excited to get to silver level and abandon it once again. But speaking of something that I'd never abandon, I want to come in the middle here, Freudian slip, and talk about our sexiest NPC of the week.
Ooh,
who is it?
Ooh, I hope you don't hide this beauty's beauty by turning on crab mode, because our sexiest NPC of the week is Queen Ansorek, the Queen of the Nerubians.
That means hot.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's what she'll sound like when we have to fight her. And we're talking about, like, this is the end boss of the first raid tier in War Within, correct?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be laying this girl out and showing her the business. Going to be hitting this bitch with blue level gear.
She's got a big, beautiful... Is it a moon? A half moon on her head? Like a crescent?
She ain't never seen the moon. How does she know what it looks like? Who described the moon to this woman?
That's a good point. She's got a pair of moons on her.
Actually, does she? The middle bit's pretty androgynous, if I may say.
Hey, that earns sexy points here.
Mm-hmm. It's 2024. Yeah, hell yeah. We're all for different kinds of bodies. Although, what she may lack in the front, she makes up for in the back. She's got a big, fat, voluptuous buttocks.
You know, being underground, you know she's... extra dirty.
And you know, since she's an end boss, she will be fucking us for a very long time, I'm sure. So we will spend a lot of long, hard, intimate hours with her down in the dark, they're probably wet caverns. I don't know.
They gotta be a little wet.
I'm just going to make sure that I keep her original model because I'm not interested in getting crabs from this encounter.
Oh! Dude, if you turn on the filter, you know, it'll be little crabs instead.
Well, gosh, thanks, Queen Ansorek. That was sure nice. We said a bunch of silly things about you. Anyways, moving on. See you at the Three Bubbles.
Yeah, whenever Holly lets us bring it back, you know, she's holding us hostage.
Keeping my dad in a well or whatever the... whatever the rest of the mythos was.
I think that was it. Your dad's in a well.
R.I.P. Help my man out. Free my dad. Free my dad.
Free him. Okay, so we got the 464 miles that can dragon ride. Why the fuck did they make the little cradle able to dragon ride?
Because it's silly. It looks so stupid. But I love it. And I love how, like... that, like, not the cradle, but, like, I love how, like, they use the mount specials for a lot of these mounts in the actual dragon riding animations. I think a lot of them look really cool.
Yeah, I fucking, when she was talking about Mimiron's head in the Ian video or the Mr. GM video, whichever one it was, they showed it flying and it looked dope. And I was like, God fucking damn it, I have to go fucking farm Ulduar now and get that thing because I wasn't able to get it before.
Yeah, so but they did make it sound like most mounts will be able to do this. As Slide said, 464 of them. There is a list on Wowhead, so you can check the list to see if your fave made it.
I can't imagine why they would deny a mount, because, I mean, things like the cradle or Mimiron's head or the Kraz Modunk version from BFA, those are all in there. Those seem to me to be the most, like, this is a weird flying mount. Also, I saw the Tazavesh Gear Glider. That was gear gliding around. So, like, the flying coin mounts, they're able to dynamic fly. I do not know what is the parameter that would deny someone.
Yeah, I want to see the list of things that can't fly. Show me that one, Wowhead.
Well, probably all the ground mounts, but there has to be flying ones as well, or else they would have just said all flying mounts can dragon ride.
Yeah, we're going to have to look into this.
Fun fact, so dynamic flying is available, but you can also shift into standard flying. And on the opposite end of the coin, apparently that goes for Drakthyr. Soaring, their very famous ability, now also works in reverse, and you can just hover.
Oh, shit. That sounds way better. Why would you not just turn that on and have a flight form?
I mean, but then you would be slow, right? Like, if you wanted to, like, fly fast.
Does Soar still have a cooldown to it?
So, I haven't used it anywhere that wasn't the Dragon Isles in a while, but its cooldown is 10 seconds on the Dragon Isles. I'm assuming all that will change. I think it was longer when you were elsewhere, but I haven't tried it.
It was 3 minutes at the beginning of Dragonflight, I remember. And I feel like they have changed that, but yeah, that would feel weird if you go once and then it's still like, oh, you gotta wait 45 seconds.
Maybe now with Bobby Kotick out the door, you know, they're like, oh, don't worry, guys, zero cooldown. We did it. He really, really was holding us back.
We got to appeal to our 2 million new Chinese fans because they're getting it back. They're booting up the servers. They're sending out the invite codes. They're re-smelting Gore Howl.
So funny. I know you guys destroyed it, but it's back.
I forget. Who did Blizzard destroy it, or did the Chinese government destroy it? Why did Gore Howl need to suffer at the hands of NetEase?
I think NetEase employees destroyed it out of anger that they were not able to do whatever they were doing. Or not NetEase, but whatever the other company was that was over there.
Yeah, my interpretation, maybe this was just my headcanon or what I envisioned, but like I kind of envisioned them like literally plunderstorming their way in there and then like breaking it.
But yes, congratulations to China. You're back in the saddle, baby. You guys get to enjoy all of the fun of 10.2.5. Go dig up the bones. And they're like, oh, no. Cancel the deal. This is terrible.
Go dig up the bread.
Bread and crabs for China.
Oh, my God. Do you think they just have a giant bread loaf over there in Trader's Rest?
Who baked this?
I guess
this?
So. The big loaf.
The big bake-off.
Bones are so scary.
The yeast, it's rising.
Look out. Oh, hey, so if you're buying things in the store, good news. There's new stuff. You can buy a Plunderstorm chest. I know all y'all are clamoring for it out there. I mean, I am.
No, it's like a physical item, a real-life item.
Yeah, it's like a chest, but $65. I'm like, how big is this chest?
They posted the dimensions. I didn't look at them, though, but like it's on there. It's like $60 or whatever. I'm bad with dimensions without actually like getting out a ruler and like seeing, but like it sounded kind of small, like would be like on your desk type deal.
Yeah, I would imagine for $65, they're not giving you like an actual chest. It's just like a little keepsake, a little curio.
I feel like I have to buy it. Like, I feel like I want it, and I want to store my pennies in there.
Do you think it jettisons the contents like in Plunderstorm?
Oh, I hope so.
You open the chest, and it's just, like, 17 things shoot out everywhere.
It makes, like, a little noise, like, a clinging noise as well. Like, mm-hmm. It just has, like, a little spring in the bottom, so it just launches everything out.
The Collector's Edition for War Within is on the shop. It's, like, $170. But it's got a beautiful statue of a dwarf on a griffin. I already bought it.
Did you really?
I did. I mean, I have every Collector's Edition from the games that we've been playing, so I'm like, I can't stop now.
That's fair. Blizzard, when are you going to make little boxes? Bring back little boxes for poor crumb bums like me.
I mean, I'm sure you could, like, print and make your own, like, as a little art project.
But Ian's going to make fun of me when he comes to my house. Like, very good. Very good. What's this? Dragonflight little box? I was like, yeah, my wife and I made it. It was a labor of love. Perhaps you should have got your... You should have got your money up instead of your funny up.
Oh,
knocks it over.
Damn. Ian's fucking a rude boy. Oh, we have the dungeon list for season one of War Within. Most importantly, so what, they're carrying forth the thing where they're gonna do four new dungeons and then four old ones.
Yes. So I have the list here. The four new ones are Arakara, City of Echoes, City of Threads, The Stone Vault, and The Dawnbreaker. And then we have four returning dungeons. Some of them are from Shadowlands, even. They're Shadowlands and BFA here. So we have Mists of Tirna Scythe, Necrotic Wake, Siege of Boralus, and Grimbatol.
And don't you worry, everyone, all you RPers out there. They have... ensured us that Grimbatol still does feature the 4-minute long bombing run. And if you fuck it up, you're over. You've tanked my key. That there's going to be a lot of tense moments there.
Bomb this dick. I am not excited to do Siege of Boralus and miss the jump into the water and get eaten by a shark and everybody go, what the fuck happened? And I'm like, I can't do the jump, guys. Why would we go any other way?
I am kind of excited to see Shadowlands once again, though. The maze is still gonna fuck me up, I'm sure, though, unfortunately.
The Necrotic Wake, now remind me. Which Kyrian one? Is this the one with the big nasty guy in the beginning who can fuck your run easy?
Yes, this is the big green one. This is the one that looks like a Maldraxian dungeon, despite being a Kyrian one.
All the mobs in the beginning of that fucking room. Mm-hmm. Oh, is it? Wait, no! No! Is this the one with that room that you're trapped in for, like, forever?
Yeah, the one where you fly upstairs and then you're just, like, in there forever. I mean, I honestly, this one grew on me to the point where, like, I feel like it became one of the easier ones of Shadowlands, but, like, I understand the gripe.
I hate that room. I just feel like you're in there for so long, and you know you got so many guys coming at you. Oh, we got four more big guys that go out of the jump out of the fucking bed and attack me. Exciting, though. I can't believe it. I'm excited for, you know, Shadowlands Classic's going to be great once we roll around to it.
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's basically what, like, to double back what Holly was saying about these limited time, like, time running ones, as I think is what they're officially calling them. So time running mop, if it's well received, which I think it will be well received. It's already being well received. She said that they will continue to do those. So I think our theory that they'll just keep moving forward will be a thing, probably.
Yeah, seems like it. But now it's time to do our top two, bottom boot, medium moon. Kick us off.
Okay, well, my top toot is that the one world quest, the cataloging picture taking one with that I needed to take a picture of Nat Pagel for the Taven mount meta achievement, it was there. I believe so. Also, like, it's funny that, like, I'm not the only one that was, like, waiting for it, because, like, fucking Wowhead even posted an article, like, telling people, hey, it's here until Friday. So if you are listening to this day that it's released, you might still be able to get it. I don't know if they meant that, like, it's there until, like, end of Friday, or, like, if it might already be gone, but I don't know. If you need it, maybe take a look. I don't know. That's all I got for you. Sorry. But my top two is that, like, it was there. I only have one achievement left, this fucking fishing thing. that just won't spawn where I need it to. So maybe next week. But a secondary portion of this top two is that Taven is being unnerfed. Our boy will be back to his proper size in 10.2.7. But like, still, that's like, when the fuck is that? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have a date for that yet, huh?
No, but I'm excited that they acknowledge that they made him smaller, at least. I'm like, are they really just going to like gaslight us about this? But like, no. He will be back to his better size, so I'm excited about that. Aaron, what do you got?
Well, I have myself a top toot.
Toot!
And that is that on a lovely Saturday outing the other day, the Mrs. Cubby Bub and I, we went to our local GameStop. And gosh golly gee, what did they have there but World of Warcraft figurines? And wow, very specific special ones.
What'd you get?
So they are very specifically like dual class figures. You get extra parts so that this the base figure can be one of two classes. So they had human, warrior, paladin, undead, mage, warlock. Oh, God, what were the other ones? Orc, shaman, warrior as well, I'm pretty sure. And then night elf, druid, and rogue. And I got the first. I got the human, warrior, and paladin. So it's pretty cool. You can change out the head and you can change out the shoulder parts to more class-specific transmog.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can display whatever it is you want.
That's cool. I didn't even know that was even a thing.
Yeah, apparently it was from 2023, so I missed the boat, but they're there at your local GameStop. It's a shame that the mage was a damn dirty undead that I didn't get, but also the rogue was a night elf. Blech, I can't stand.
Too tall to be a rogue.
Too tall. Also, you get a special bonus item, which for me was a small version of that sword that warriors and death knights would run ICC to get.
Oh, wait, did you get that one?
I did get that one, but it's translucent blue, I guess, to be like, it's super special rare. But I don't like how it looks. I would have preferred they just give me the silver or like the gray version of it. But what can you do?
What can you do? Nothing. Buy the undead mage.
I'll have to go back and get them all. Oh, boy. Slide Whistle, you tell me what it is that brought your week joy or pain.
I have a unt top toot.
A toot toot toot.
Blunderkind. Blunderkind.
Oh, Blunderkind. Why you did it?
Van Wildwin. Blunder.
Oh, you've done it. You've joined the elite strike force of what? There's probably like four of you that have done this.
Seven people. We are currently on an email chain exchanging blockchain with our 1 million plunder. That's how that works, right? Is that how blockchain works?
Yeah, and sure enough. And if it doesn't, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I feel like this was probably the most work I put into achievement in a very long time. But you know, it was fun and it wasn't that hard for me. I was able to do some of it at work, some of it at home, a lot of it at home, obviously. Full days putting in. But like, if you win, it goes so much faster. Just the wins would just rack up. I think my highest plunder yield was like 5.8K in a game of trios that we had. And I have 51 first place victories out of that fucking, I don't know how many, 100 hours at least. It's gotta be.
Yeah, like you became very scary to watch, honestly. Also, I don't think we said this, but like plunder is now double. So like if you like reputation in Plunder Swarm is doubled. So like if you still need to get your renown 40, you can get it twice as fast now.
It's so easy now. Like you could honestly get this in a day if you have free time and nothing else to do. Put on a TV show, put on the Fallout show while you're doing it.
It's a good one, surprisingly. Chud got distracted and they all left, but it was a real good one.
But yeah, Plunderkind.
Oh, let's give it to our other Plunderkinds, the big financial backers for this program. We are talking about Command Sergeant Major Tajerla, Ohe Vince, Instinct/Drag Race, Azarin, Digital Dave, asking Gralina to save For the Horde. I'm sorry, For the Horde. Mitch, who wants to remind everyone that Rathion is not daddy. He's an isn't little child. Crucifix, Saracen, Hawk, Geek, Punchard, Dox, Jerome, Adorno.
Fine layman.
Losing the patient, Gershi, Super Squirt Day, Calcus, a tired void of. Huzzah, Johnny's Friday, unsave. Wooly, Side Whistle, Secret Stalker, teehee. Adaman, Vanderlyle, and Will, aka Tyre, Trade Chat's fallen father.
Honestly, that was very impressive. Good job.
Yeah.
Ah, thanks.
If you guys want to send us an email, send it to donotrelentpod@gmail.com or send me a personal love note to NavarraCoffin@gmail.com.
Break our single parasocial relationship.
Single, ready to mingle. You can also check out anything you fucking want to attach to the name brand at donotrelent.com. That's donotrelent.com. Join our Discord. Join our Patreon. Click the other links. What about you guys? Where are you at?
Well, I am apparently newly single, so you can hit me up on Twitter at New Era Alex or on Blue Sky at Immunization.
You can find me, Aaron the Human, at TheBigAcheesy on Twitter.com. And you can watch me play video games live at twitch.tv/AaronDNR.
Reverse salutations. And remember,
another down. Do not relent.
Do Not Relent is a podcast within the 3HNC network, representing U.S. Proudmoore's premier podcasts.
That was a very good wish.
Want to listen to your favorite World of Warcraft podcast, but with a visual element in the background?
Don't get too excited. It's just the logo and the name of the episode.
Well, come on down to the brand new launch, Another Pod Do Not Relent YouTube channel. That's right, YouTube channel. We will now be putting out all episodes, starting with this one, on our YouTube. What about the previous, 3 million episodes? Well, don't worry. They'll be there too, in a special playlist labeled Chronological. It's going to take some time to get all of them in there, so please be patient with me. I have to do this one at a time, but yay, YouTube heads. You requested it, and we're finally doing it. Welcome to the Another Pod Do Not Relent YouTube channel. Now let's get back to the episode.